Welcome to 45 Days. I'm Julia Ritchie.
And I'm Nicole Nixon.
Representatives, I will call the House to order.
That sound can only mean one thing. The 2018 Utah legislature is officially in session. Speaker Greg Hughes called the chamber to order on Monday, and stay tuned because a little later in this episode, we're going to hear from him during Better Know a Lawmaker.
But first, let's go to Governor Gary Herbert for the state of our state.
This year, my overall report is more optimistic than ever before. I am pleased to report to you today that by every meaningful metric, the state of Utah is truly, truly exceptional.
We should mention that last year he said the state of the state was truly exceptional.
This year it was truly, truly exceptional.
So like next year, three trulies?
Or you're like spectacularly exceptional.
But seriously, the speech was a little light on policy details. Most state of the state speeches are kind of laundry lists of what the governor wants to see done. And this year he didn't have a lot. I mean, he
spent like 30 seconds on that.
Yeah, it was like eight bullet points, all said very vague, generic things about education, transportation.
Tax reform,
which... yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But it was mostly thematic, right? So he was really hitting on service, civility, the unique culture that he says Utah has, which allows it to get so much done and have such a thriving economy.
Yeah, he called it Utah's unique spirit of collaboration, which we should say it's very easy to be collaborative in a state that has a supermajority.
It's true. They always talk about how well they get along, but, you know, they can pretty much pass whatever they want with a Republican majority. But he really thinks that lawmakers should think this session about how their laws will affect the future and future generations of Utahns. So I thought that was kind of interesting because most lawmakers are so in the moment and you only have 40 or so days left in the session to get things done. So he says, you know, take your time and actually pick out the things that really matter.
He did mention some issues where all sides have come together, that collaborative spirit to take on big problems like homelessness. We've seen downtown this year. He mentioned that initiative to help hurricane victims in Puerto Rico. And he did put a big spotlight on teen suicide, which has been a big problem in the last few years in Utah.
Far too many of our youth experience a sense of discouragement and hopelessness so severe that unfortunately they consider taking their own lives. The fact that any of them actually do this is tragic beyond words. The fact that suicide has become the leading cause of death among our young people horrifies me.
In fact, Herbert has created this new task force that includes lawmakers, faith, and business leaders. It comes just after this new study came out from the CDC that showed Utah had this huge spike in teen suicide. So they'll have some recommendations for him next month, and that could potentially result in legislation.
Speaking of legislation, we've already had a ton of bills start to move around and through committees. They've even already passed some in the first week from the House and Senate floors. So lawmakers are now up to 1,277 bill files.
That's a lot of bills.
Yes, it probably could grow. The last two or three years, by the end of the session, they get up to about 1,500 bill files, and they end up passing about a third of that.
And while Herbert didn't really talk about what bills he wants to see passed out of that 1,200 or so, House Speaker Greg Hughes kind of did and laid out some of his priorities during what will be his very last session. During his speech on the first day, he dropped a bit of a bombshell, too, on the Attorney General's office, announcing a new tact against opioid makers.
So, in recent conversations with our Attorney General, I want to thank him, as he has decided that Utah will step forward in this space as a state, so that Utah's story is not diluted, so Utah's issues are not necessarily combined with others and seen less than they really are. So we as a state, with the leadership of our Attorney General, will be stepping forward as a state. And I want to thank him for that.
Here to talk with us about what Speaker Hughes is talking about is reporter Whitney Evans. What's Hughes trying to do here?
Well, it all sort of starts back in, we'll say November. It starts back in November when Salt Lake County came out and said, we're planning to sue pharmaceutical companies for their part in the opioid crisis. And Hughes publicly supported the county in these efforts. In fact, he called on other states, he called on other counties to file lawsuits as well. A month prior to November, in October, the Utah Attorney General's office announced it would join this multi-state investigation into opioid manufacturers and distributors. Not a lawsuit, an investigation. So the idea is that the investigation will lead to some sort of settlement with drug companies and avoid this sort of long, drawn-out courtroom battle.
Right.
And Speaker Hughes said that's not really enough. He wants the state to go full force, file a lawsuit against these drug companies.
Why does Speaker Hughes think that that's a better tact to take?
He wants the full force of the law to hit these companies for what they've done. The argument is that the industry was sort of marketing these drugs as non-addictive. And many people see that now as false advertisement because obviously that turned out not to be true. Millions of Americans are addicted to prescription painkillers, and that's led to millions of people becoming addicted to heroin as a result. Mm-hmm. So he wants the full force of the law to come down on these companies, and he wants big changes. He wants them to change their practices, and he doesn't think a settlement alone is going to make that happen.
There are a bunch of other states that are suing these companies already. Would it be easy for Utah to just kind of join with those states?
That's what Attorney General Sean Reyes has been saying all along, right? So when Speaker Hughes made this announcement, how did the Attorney General respond?
Well, the Attorney General responded with, you know, we're not really doing anything different. We are doing what we said we've would do all along, which is continue with this investigation and leave the option open to sue if the investigation does not yield the results that we're seeking.
So we're just seeing a major political maneuver here by Speaker Hughes, right?
He described himself as being at loggerheads with the Attorney General over this issue because the two of them had two different tacks they wanted to take. Mm-hmm. And then, but in his opening remarks, it sounded like they'd come to some sort of agreement that the Attorney General was more apt to follow the route of a lawsuit.
He would keep doing this dual track, right?
Yeah.
Settlement, and then if it doesn't work out, sue them himself, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And the Attorney General's office said, well, that's sort of what we've been doing all along.
Right.
So nothing has changed.
Yeah, but Speaker Hughes gets to the point that this is his last session. He wants to make a name for himself, and he might even have a higher political office in mind. So maybe this is why he wants to make it such an issue.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's definitely another issue in addition to, you know, the work he's been doing down in downtown Salt Lake City with quote unquote Operation Rio Grande, the crime and drug crackdown. He's definitely making a name for himself. And those two issues are linked.
Well, thank you, reporter Whitney Evans, for helping us break down the issue. And we look forward to bringing you back on to talk more about homelessness, criminal justice, and all those things that they'll be tackling this session.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Support for 45 Days This Week comes from San Francisco Design. Whether you're on the Hill or just trying to keep up, the legislature is exhausting. You know what's not exhausting? Coming home and relaxing in a living room put together by designers that have been specializing in contemporary home furnishings since 1981. San Francisco Designs has designers that can help with one piece or even outfit your entire home. Located in Salt Lake and Park City or online at sanfrandesign.com.
Welcome back. Lawmakers are also working on a ton of other issues, we should say. Transportation, education, state fossils.
So since we can't get to all of them in this episode, we're going to set a timer right now for 2 minutes and tell you some of the bills that we are keeping an eye on. You ready?
I think so.
Go.
On the first day, Representative Carrie-Anne Lisenby introduced a bill that would ban abortions performed by doctors on women whose fetuses have been diagnosed with Down syndrome.
Senate President Wayne Niederhauser is sponsoring a bill that would expand the state's power to implement toll roads and may lead to a toll road up Little Cottonwood Canyon.
Representative Jim Dunnigan passed through the House his bill restricting fireworks. It cuts the number of days you can shoot off fireworks in July by half and gives cities and counties wider latitude to ban them.
Senator Daniel Thatcher is ushering through the legislature a bill that would create a process, very high bar process, for some counties to remove a mentally incapacitated elected official. Think Salt Lake County and the late county recorder, Gary Ott.
The House just passed a bill that would require police to get a warrant before obtaining a blood draw, inspired, of course, by the episode over the summer with nurse Alex Wubbles, who was arrested by a former Salt Lake police officer for refusing to do one.
Senator Kurt Bramble was sponsoring legislation to change the state fossil from the Allosaurus to the Utah Raptor. He has changed it. Allosaurus will stay, and Utah Raptor may become the new state dinosaur. Crap, and there's so much more we didn't get to. Another Senator Daniel Thatcher bill would bring back the hate crimes law. He's changed it a little bit. This week, a bunch of religious leaders came out in support of it, but noticeably absent from that list was the LDS Church.
And remember, Speaker of the House Greg Hughes hinted at big changes to transportation policy?
Big changes.
Well, we found out what those might be in the form of a new draft bill introduced by the Transportation Governance Task Force. They love task force in Utah, which would dramatically restructure the Utah Transit Authority's board. It would drop it from a 16-member part-time volunteer board to a 3-member governor-appointed board of trustees.
Ooh.
And would also impose a new registration fee on electric vehicles because they don't pay the gas tax. Mm-hmm.
They're not paying their fair share for road use, basically.
Yeah, I already heard a few objections to that one. And then it would also raise fees and taxes in a few other places to try and fund more public transit. Oh, yeah, and tax reform might be dead.
I guess.
We'll update you on that next week. Because right now, we need to get to Speaker of the House Greg Hughes. But first, a quick break.
Hey, you, listening to 45 Days right now. You like podcasts, right? Of course you do. You're here listening to this one. But this episode is going to end soon. Sorry to break it to you. But don't worry, KUER has you covered. We're working harder than ever to bring you more and better podcasting with 45 Days and with our other projects. Search for KUER wherever you get your podcasts to find your next audio binge.
Each week, we are going to introduce you to some of the power brokers on Capitol Hill.
A quick note that this was recorded before the start of the legislative session, so you'll hear me ask and then you'll hear him avoid talking about his future plans.
Nice.
It's all in this installment of Better Know a Lawmaker. Representative Greg Hughes has represented Draper for the last 15 years in the Utah House. He's been Speaker for the last three, that's right?
That is correct.
So welcome to 45 Days. My first question is about opioids. You've been pushing local municipalities, counties to sue opioid makers to try and recoup some of those costs that the opioid crisis has taken on their communities. What do you want to see happen at the state level?
I'd like to see the state as its own state, not as a coalition of multiple states. I'd like to see the state of Utah litigate and go after the manufacturers of these painkillers, these opioids, because I think Utah has a unique story to tell. I don't want it diluted with other states. I know that there's a belief that there are strength in numbers, but I believe that the way to truly capture the attention of those that have marketed, I think that the marketing messages that the opioid manufacturers sent to physicians and the public, that these are not addictive drugs. These could be used safely for long-term use. Laughable when we look now, marketing statements that were made. I think that the only way to get those manufacturers who've made a lot of money on these drugs to change practices is you need a multi-front attack. You need counties across this country. You need states across this country in an accumulative way to litigate and to hold accountable in your respective counties, in your respective cities or respective states. I think that's where you're going to catch their attention the most.
So have you talked to Attorney General Sean Reyes about this?
There is a difference of opinion. I've spoken with Attorney General Sean Reyes about this privately and even publicly. And he is part of a multi-state effort where they are investigating. And there is word that there is a settlement that some of these opioid manufacturing companies would like to offer to these coalitions of states. I just think there's great value in discovery. I think there's great value in having each county around this country and each city and each state tell their story.
You also have these 5 ballot initiatives coming up this year, and a lot of them involve money, right? And
yes.
Raising taxes and things like that. There's been some speculation about how the legislature might try to preempt or somehow maneuver around some of the ballot initiatives. We're talking medical marijuana, we're talking education spending, nonpartisan redistricting. What do you foresee happening in regards to this?
We're definitely going to stare at that because I'll tell you, you look at other states and you can learn a lot, good and bad, from other states and how their legislative bodies interact with the general public. you know, law by initiative or by referendum, it exists for a reason in the state of Utah. It's a high bar, but it's meant to, because we really do, and this shouldn't surprise your listeners, I believe in the legislative branch. I believe in the representation and people voting for people to, you know, put these budgets together, be part of these public hearings. And so I think that is the holistic approach to a state budget that you want. Referendums and initiatives are very myopic. They look at one area of public policy, but they will never be implemented all by themselves without impacting other areas of the state budget or state government. So we'll have those conversations, and we'll make those adjustments if we think that what's being proffered has an impact and maybe a detrimental impact to the state. We're going to want to make sure that the laws that are in place are those that can even have a ballot measure be considered.
Now, you know, there's some criticism that these ballot initiatives wouldn't have happened if the legislature was more in touch with the people. I want you to respond to that particular.
Yeah, I love it. I especially the House. We're up for re-election every other year. That is not a long time to sit and get complacent. So we have to make our case to those that we represent as representatives every other year. If we are tone deaf to the voice of the people, there is a great mechanism to send that message. And look at these last mayoral elections and these off-year elections. I think there was a voice in these last November elections, and I think that the people have, thankfully, in this country, that ability to have their voice heard. And if we are too far away from what the public would like to see us do, I think that there is recourse, and it's these elections.
We've talked to a lot of women, and no one said, you know, there's no, like, touching, grabbing going on at the Utah legislature, but it is the culture, right? So there's, like, you have nice eyes. They'll give you a hug instead of a handshake.
I do it uniformly. I call it a bro hug. You know, it's a shake with the arm around the shoulder.
But it's a gray area now.
I know. I have to check that. My wife saw, we were at a function, and there was a male legislator, and I shook his hand, and I kind of put my arm and pat him on the back, and then I saw a female colleague, and I shook her hand. I didn't smack her on the back like I did, but I put my arm and kind of pulled in a little bit, and my wife pointed out, you know, those are probably things that you've been used to doing that you don't do. But, you know, I think that's unfortunate in some ways, but I think it's an easy price to pay to make sure that nobody ever misunderstands those gestures.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask what's next for you. Are you happy staying speaker? I mean, there was a lot of speculation that you might have higher political ambitions.
I love doing the job. I don't like measuring for drapes for a different job when I'm on the clock, and I love being speaker. It's the honor of my life to be able to be a member of the House, Utah House Representatives, and I just stay in the now. I'm not looking at any future opportunities or opportunities to serve in other capacities. There's just so much to do right now. This is where my attention is focused.
Well, thank you, Speaker Hughes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Special thanks to House Speaker Greg Hughes for joining us. Tune in next week when we'll hear from Democratic Senator Karen Main.
A special thanks to everyone who joined us for our launch party at Silicon Slopes. We loved meeting you guys in person, and we can't wait to do it again.
45 Days is a production of KUER News. This episode was produced by Tim Slover with original music by David Whited.
For more local news and legislative coverage, visit our website at KUER.org and follow KUER on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're doing some really fun Insta stories. FYI, you can also follow me @_Nixo.
And I'm @JuliaRitchie.
See you next week.